Hi, my lovely listener, this is Véronique, your host. So before I introduce you to the next guest, I want to make a little announcement. Some of you already know I'm a sound healer now, and I have a new path in my life, and this is fantastic. I love it, and I really want to share my gift with you. So if you're interested about having a sound bath, or if you want to know about sound bath, I do virtual sound bath because I know a lot of you are listening from abroad. So we can do Zoom, we can do YouTube. So if you're looking to relax, realign, and inner peace, offer virtual one-on-one sound healing sessions and online group sound bath designed to help you release stress and restore balance, and using the pure tones of crystal singing bowls and guided meditation, each session is a deeply calming experience from the comfort of your own space. So if you're ready to shift your energy and raise your vibration, visit my website, harmoniousechoes.com, to book your session today. Today I speak with Barbara Wyth. She is an international peace activist, award-winning author, composer, and performer, workshop facilitator, and have authored 6 non-fiction books on metaphysics about her research as a psychic channel who works with a group called The Party. She is also the co-founder of Conflict Revolutio, a revolutionary way to resolve conflicts of the psyche as a pathway to global peace based on this work channeling Einstein. Hi, Barbara. Thank you for coming today. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Véronique.
Yeah, I'm very excited because I love talking to psychic. And you're a very interesting one. I never talked to someone who can channel, I wouldn't say celebrities, but someone who was really known before.
Yes, I know. It's a crazy story.
So before we say, you know, who we're talking about, I want to ask you, like, you know, ask all the people I talk with, how did you become, you know, a psychic? Because usually people tell me, oh, you know, everybody can become a psychic. But some people, they know when they're born, you know, oh, I know I can channel other forces, other spirits. So how did it happen for you?
It came to me through music. Oh. I started very, very young. I started teaching myself piano. And then about 12, I started to write music.
Okay.
And 12. That process, it was motivated. I came from a very traumatic household. And so it was motivated by my need to have my voice. So I started to write music. And by the time I was out of high school, I had 2 solid sets of music and I wanted to be a rock star. That was the only thing I wanted.
Yeah.
But along the way, I had a friend whose mother was a psychic and she had been giving me readings since I was like 16. And they were always so loving and filled with self-love tips and how to maneuver through these difficult situations. And so I knew what it was when I started to spontaneously automatic write one day. I was writing a letter to a friend and something took over my hands and all of this amazing, beautiful information started to flow through me that I hadn't intended to say. I knew what it was, but I was still like, what is this? And I typed, who are you? Because my mentor was just an antenna. She was like, she said, I'm an antenna. I pick up your higher power and I read it back to your human mind. So I didn't have any personalities or anything. And they said, we're sound.
Interesting.
And that's what I said was, wow, what does that actually mean? And I couldn't really wrap my head around, I'm not quite sure what that means, but because I had been immersed in sound since the time I was old enough to remember, I was kind of okay with it. All right, so it's the same place I go when I write music and hear the sound. So that's kind of how I got officially started as a psychic channel.
Were you a teen at that time? Or how
No. I was, this was 87. So I was 1987. I was like 32 or something.
Okay. So not scared of it, already knew about it and just, you know, puzzled. Oh, okay. Something is talking to me. And now we're going to reveal that you can channel someone. So you can channel Albert Einstein. So
crazy.
So what happened the first time he came to you? You know, did you know it was him? Or
well,
did he introduce himself?
I had been channeling groups by the time I met Albert. I had started organizing groups with my, we call ourselves the psychic sorority.
Mm-hmm.
So Kim and Teresa and I would get groups in our living room and I would channel and we would tape them and transcribe them. And because of that, I published our first book, Diaries of a Psychic Sorority, in 1997. And because of that book, I got interest from a metaphysical tabloid in London in 1998, who wanted an interview with Princess Di on the one-year anniversary of her death. And that was another one where I was like, well, what does that actually mean? How would I do that?
Yeah.
But I managed to kind of figure it out, like, just okay, I'll just see what happens, and had this beautiful interview that the tabloid didn't want. And so my agents and I decided maybe there's other famous people who want to talk. So we made this long list, and Einstein really wasn't on it.
So random, right?
It's like, I don't know. You know, like, and some of them wanted to, and some of them didn't. Like, you know, Elvis didn't, and Mother Teresa didn't. But Nicole Brown Simpson did. So that was another really deep, incredible interview. Anyway, by the time we got to John Kennedy, which is also, as the time passes, that interview gets more amazing. But he said to us, look, this isn't your idea. And we're going to tell, put your list away. We will tell you who's up, because they explained they are this group of souls in afterlife who've been working with us for world peace.
Yes. And I'm going to talk about that also. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, okay, so. Then Einstein came up. Like, okay, Albert Einstein. I was like, oh, wow, Einstein. I hadn't thought of that. Because I wasn't into science. I was totally just music all the way. But when I was channeling his first interview, I was speaking it. And it shocked me because it was the voice of all my readings.
Oh, okay.
It was like I was giving another reading to an individual. And it took me several years to come to terms with, wow, this really could be Einstein. But I was still kind of hesitant to say it because it's so outlandish in a way. Like, why would Einstein come to me? But I published Party of 12, the afterlife interviews, in 2001. Right in July, so right before 9/11. And after 9/11 is when I decided I should come out of the closet with it, because the information that I have is so powerful, and it's so much about world peace and about inner peace, and people need to hear it. And so in 2005, I decided, well, let's just do a little book for Einstein. It's a 100-year anniversary of E equals MC squared and all the five miracle years. So let's see what he has to say. And I really didn't have any, like, expectation of what it would be. But long story short, he delivered to me a unified field theory, which is something that science is looking for. How to explain how things work on the microcosm and the macrocosm in the same math. Because right now, they can't. Well, they're getting there. And it included what we call the map of human consciousness, because you can't have the physical world without an interaction with human consciousness. And one of the really most profound things was he redefined compassion as the fifth fundamental force of the universe, as the creative intelligence that uses the other four fundamental forces to impel the creation of the physical world one step at a time. And all of that was so revolutionary to just me alone in my room, you know, editing and writing. But when I put that book out, Imagining Einstein, it really was the book that got me asked around the world to teach and train conflict revolution, which is the process the psychic sorority and I developed all those many years ago. And so it's just, and it's been a wild ride ever since.
So, you know, many people are very curious about channeling. And so what would you say to people who are skeptical or like unsure about the process? You know, how are we sure that's Einstein, you know, talking to you?
Well, what I like to say about is it Einstein is that I think everything at its root is a mystery. Everything. So I try not to be too absolutely positively sure about anything. You know, I have my worldview. And with Einstein, it was more like what came out of me while I was channeling him was so profound to me that when people, especially scientists, left brain people would say, well, how do you know it's Einstein? I would say, you know what? Let me show you what he told me. And then you tell me who you think it is. If it's not Einstein, you tell me what you think it is, because it's so big and it's so profound that through the years, it's still taken even years to be able to say, I'm fairly sure it's Einstein.
So is it any new thing that you cannot understand? Like too complicated, for instance?
Well, yes, there were things in that. Yeah, when he was talking about the unified field, and he said that the source of everything, the source, is in the center of the planet, and that it operates like a black hole. And at the time he said that in 2005, I was like, I have no idea if this just sounds like, you know, some kind of cartoon thing that somebody made up. Or could it really be that? And I sort of said to him, you expect me to get up in front of a stage in front of people, some of whom are going to be scientists, and I'm supposed to say this. And he was just like, yeah, that's kind of it. And long story short, last summer I spoke at the Science of Consciousness conference in Barcelona, and I finally presented my decades worth of work on this subject of the unified field. In fact, I have a huge video presentation with music and my narration about the whole, how I walk us through, you know, from nothing into the universe. And when I got through and I was telling the audience that how hard it was for me in 2005 to think I'd stand up here and say that we live inside a black hole, like three people in the audience were like, that's the truth. That's the truth. And then later I heard one of the big, big physicists, Nassim Harriman, and on his big stage, he said, yes, we could be living in a black hole in the center of the earth. And 20 years I've questioned and wondered about that. And then when I heard him say that last summer, I just thought, okay, I'm pretty sure it's Einstein.
Okay. So we live in a black hole in the center of the earth. So, it's not too bad from what I can see.
Right. I know. It's pretty cool.
We can breathe. We have trees. We have nature, you know, the sun, the moon.
It's a huge manifestation mechanism.
Okay.
You know, we call it the new operating system. It's this whole system of how we interact with energy and compassion and to create this lens of our physical existence. So I have a whole map that I present at my classes and such that shows the map. We draw the map from nothing one step at a time. And when it's done, it's always been so fascinating to do it in person, which I haven't been able to do it much since COVID, but it's like this big mandala almost, where people come up and they just stand in front of it and they'll say, you know, something about, well, like, where's Rainbow Bridge? You know, all these concepts that we have about reality, like Rainbow Bridge, where, you know, you cross over to the whatever and all these theories, and I can show people on the map where everything is. It's really wild, yeah.
So you call that? So you describe, your work as resolving conflict of the psyche. So
yes.
How do you explain what it means on a personal level?
Well, conflict revolution came out of my work, as I said, with the psychic sorority, and what we were told when we started channeling groups, and the girls said, "Who are you?" And the voices said, "You can call us angels." So now I've gone from sound, from an antenna, from sound to angels. But these angels said they had this theory about how humans could work first in their energy to resolve the conflict first here, and the result would be a natural manifestation of peace in the environment around us based on what's inside. But they needed real humans with real conflicts to test their theory.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So the three of us were like, okay. And then, of course, eventually we had our first conflict, as we all do, right? Very normal. And we actually got the transcript and did it the way that they suggested. And it was such a little shift, but it was so powerful in the outcomes, how outcomes manifested after that, that we just kind of got addicted to it. You know, we'd have fights and then we'd work the process, and we'd have fights and we worked the process. And in 1999, I took everything that we had learned and I created Conflict Revolution. And my first training of it was as staff development for a nonprofit in Minneapolis, a women's nonprofit. And then I started training it there as anger management and personal empowerment and manifestation and in my own workshops. And it's got a very basic premise, and you'll see all kinds of belief systems and processes in it. But it says what we do is we work with what we call the three human dimensions. So that's intellect in the head, emotion in the solar plexus, and intuition in the heart chakra. And what we're doing is, first of all, when we step in, we create a witness, right? So we can step outside ourselves and then witness ourselves so we can see, what am I thinking? What am I feeling? What is intuition telling me? And from there, it becomes, we call it aligning to compassion. Because what happens is emotion flows up into the heart chakra, into intuition, and it educates it on what is going on in your whole system. Emotion is very powerful. And intuition then sends a signal to the intellect for the next most advantageous step for the good of the whole situation. So intuition, sort of the voice of God, is impelling us to take that next step that's going to be best for the whole organism. But then it gets up into the intellect, and that's where free will is actually exercised. So if you turn right, it's not your intuition that impels your hand to grab the steering wheel and pull it right. That's the intellect does that. It's the free will. So basically, we have the power to say no to intuition. So simple example, your intuition, and everyone has done this, where your body is saying, rest.
Yes.
And then mine says, I can't rest. I've got too much to do. And then we make the decision and then we're running around and suddenly we're sick. And then we've got conflicts with people. And what Einstein said was the root of all conflicts, every conflict in the world, is between the intuition and the intellect. That if we did the impelling of what God told us religiously, we would manifest much different lives than when we get that impelling and our intellect say, well, I can't do that. I have to go do this. And, you know, it's so simple and every day.
I know. That's your ego talking, right? When you say, oh, no, because every time I don't listen to my intuition, I regret it. I'm like, I knew I was supposed to do this, but your ego is talking. Your mind is like, man, you cannot do that. Trying to maybe to protect you. I don't know. And
yeah. And we're just, it's how we're used to operating.
Yeah. But I'm thinking, you know, you're teaching that conflict revolution to people?
Yes.
Because if everybody, you know, is working on that compassion and the heart chakra, we could be living in a paradise. You know,
I know.
The world would be in peace for sure.
And that's one thing Princess Di said in her interview that was so touching to me at the end. She said, if everyone who put flowers in front of the palace would do this, Mm-hmm. We'd have world peace in a day.
Yeah. So are you currently on a leading a world peace tour?
I am. I made the decision a couple of years ago to dedicate my life. Well, I just turned 70 this year, but I made the decision 2 years ago that I had such this body of work that, you know, I protected. I mean, I've done readings and I've taught and I've traveled the world training and teaching, but it's felt more to me like a mission than it has like a business. So I had been funding it with other revenue streams, you know, many things we all do, you know, restaurant work and administrative work and design work. And so a couple of years ago, I thought I'm going to just give up those things and dedicate the rest of my life to this amazing body of work that I have. And I left that year. I went to, I spent 3 months in Europe that winter. And then came back and spoke at the first Science of Consciousness conference. And last winter, I have a whole masterclass that I put together and beefed up my website and been teaching and training online. Haven't been able to do much live stuff, but that's my dedication from here on in.
So many courses are online now. So, efficient and comfortable for people who want to learn, but they cannot go to your classes in person. I think the things with your online is the best. What kind of transformation you've seen in participants? Did you see, can you feel that, yeah, you're really making a difference?
In the world?
In the world, or, you know, anybody you listen to, because you're doing all that tour, all those talk. Do you see like any transformation in participant?
Yeah, all the time.
All the time. Okay.
Yeah. And that's sometimes, good. You know, sometimes people get, we get so like, we have all the pieces, right? You've got, oh, I know. And then we feel like we're backsliding and then we don't know. And then we find another piece and this and that. So my readings, they sort of put all the pieces into place in a way that gives people like this kind of revolutionary perspective of what they already know, right? So like I just described to you, conflict revolution. Well, you know what intuition is. You know what emotion is. You know what intellect is. These things make sense to people. And then when you actually do it, when you actually take the time to arrange your perception to understand what your emotion is really and how to sort of like different organs, right? You deal with your heart in one way and you deal with your stomach in another way. So you learn how to care for your emotions independently of how you adjust your thinking process and how you hear your intuition. And this little shift, it makes so much sense. And then when you do it, like the first time that you're aware that you've maybe got anger coming up and you're about to project it onto your, you know, Aunt Martha or your sister. And the first time you can stop and go, wait a minute. I'm just going to breathe through this emotion. Let's empty that out before I make any forward motion. And then with the thinking, you know, shadow work is in mirror work. It's super hard. It's super hard. I think it's the hardest work we can do. But when we do it and we really get to where I find where I'm doing the thing that I think the other person is so guilty of, wait a minute. Okay, she doesn't respect my time. All right, let me look. Where do I not respect my time or somebody else's time? And we start focusing there. That's the arena we have control over. Whether we want to control it or not, you know, because our egos are like, well, I don't do that. It's like, yes, actually, you probably do. And when we resolve it there, then instead of going to her and trying to negotiate, well, you don't, blah, 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 in the arena, and we do it here, the arena naturally changes. So either the person rises to the occasion or they kind of disappear and go off on the same, you know, vibe that they're putting out while we elevate ours to attract that same vibe to us.
I completely agree with what you just said. It's so hard to just
not react and not, you know, listening to your mind. And there's so much also noise in the world, right? It's so hard just to calm down and just meditate or take a moment before acting. There's so much noise around us. So we have the need sometimes to just react to every situation. And sometimes we don't need to react to every situation. I know for me, it's really hard not to. I'm getting better at it. With time and age.
It's the work of our life, though. I mean, it is. Because, I mean, this has been my whole thing, too. When I was growing up, I was completely a rageaholic and always a victim. And it's taken a long time. But I can say now what a blessing it is for me to have this process where I can, when I get triggered, what's so interesting to me is that the whole idea is we have all these trapped emotions in our body. Emotions we didn't feel when we were young, trapped. We call them abscesses, you know, stuff that you put a smile on your face, but you're, you know, in here. And all of this has to move through our bodies and out to be freed. But the trick is when it gets to the intellect. Because if I have anxiety and I'm breathing it through me and it's going to go through my intellect, it's going to trigger anxious thoughts. So now I've got some really live thoughts about, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not going to have them, you know, however they are. So when we break those apart and we try to access that deep try, it comes up without letting it attach to any thinking process. So I have a little thing I put in when I get really emotional. I say, I don't have to know why. All I need to do right now that it's here is feel and breathe it and move it. Just move it. And none of us, I can guarantee none of us were taught how to deal with emotions that way.
Do you do like breath work? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So powerful.
Really important. And we don't learn that. We should learn that. That's cool. You know, breath work, yoga, meditation, that should be learned, you know, should be taught to kids.
Yes.
It's
yes.
Very important. You have this, can you tell us about that 6-week courses on unlocking psychic potential? Because like I said at the beginning, when I talk with psychic, they say, oh, we all have, you know, those skills to be a psychic if you just calm down and let the noise, you know, go away. So what is that program that you have?
Well, and part of that is as I show you this unified field theory and the maps of human consciousness, and how every single human is energetically constructed according to this model, you see that intuition is an integral part of our makeup. It's not just, you know, something I have and you don't. It's like you have a heart, I have a heart, they have a heart. We all have intuition. And when people learn what it is and how to use it, then it becomes magical. It becomes really magical to be able to get out of your head and listen for what intuition is telling you and then choosing to act on it. I think that's the operative piece. But yeah, people need to understand how that works within them and how it really happens. And in the course, I go through a lot of information too about the history of channeling and different forms of channeling and, you know, historically and biblically, how we come to this, and also how channeling is, you know, musicians channel. Anytime a jazz artist rips out a solo, you know, improvised. Scientists channel. I heard Brian Greene, famed string theorist, talk about how he writes math, and I thought, that's how I channel. Kind of get out of the way and let this kind of flow through you, and you're listening for something other than the thinking. And I think the really challenges when you're first doing it is to just let yourself hear it and then transpose it. So like you can listen and then you hear stuff, and then this side of your mind goes, well, that's not important. You're just making that up, you know? And so then you don't. So some of it in that is just getting people comfortable with their natural intuitiveness and then showing them how to access it on a very simple basis and then seeing the big results that come from that.
And they can achieve that in 6 weeks.
I think so. So far, everyone I know has. Everyone I've taught has.
Good. I mean, that's, yeah, because that's pretty fast. That's good.
But everybody uses it different, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody's not going to be channeling Einstein like me, you know. Everybody will have it.
And this, the seniority, so it's sonority, sorry. It's you and two friends.
Yes.
And do they also channel like personalities, famous people?
No,
or it's me, you?
They don't. I'm the channel, and okay. They were the other two of the triad who I taught them to channel, but that wasn't their mission. Their mission was not to be channels. But they supported it, and it was so important in order to develop conflict revolution to have people who were going to have conflicts, and you know, three women. Easy peasy.
Okay. So they just help you with the energy?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. And so before we go, I wanted to ask you, what do you think that Albert Einstein, what would be his message if he was alive today for the world?
I think this is his message, is that actually his very last manifesto that he wrote in life was read aloud in London on July 9th, 1955. It was called the Russell Einstein Manifesto. He'd already passed on. And it was a message to the world leaders to resolve conflicts peacefully because no one will survive World War III. So that was his actual last words. And when I was in Barcelona this summer, I presented his whole unified field theory on July 8th, which was almost the 70th anniversary of his actual last words.
So, powerful.
Yes, I think it's still his message.
Okay.
World peace, yeah. One person at a time, starting with us.
Well, it's also our job, you know, to elect the right people who are going to make those kind of decisions also, because...
Well, you know, you're talking to also an investigative reporter, so I don't know if I want to go there as much as I think it's important we start with us, you know.
Yeah.
Those leaders, we can't look to them. We have to change ourselves.
Yeah, we agree on that.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to add something? Maybe something I didn't ask?
No, I think that's great. I think that's a really nice snapshot of the picture of conflict revolution. And I have all kinds of stuff on my website that people can indulge in. And I'd like to offer you a special and your listeners a special. If someone would like to have a reading with me,
yeah,
I'll give you an hour reading for the price of a half hour reading.
Okay. Yeah, so, you're going to have a special code or something? I would put it in the show notes. You know,
no, it's just there's a half hour reading on my readings page, which you can put on the show notes.
Okay.
And you can just go by the half hour and say, you saw me on Aligned and Thriving, and let's go.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm going to put all the information in the show notes, your website and all your social media. And if people want to connect with you, they can see you there. Barbara, thank you very much. It was really interesting.
Thank
you. It's the first time I talked to a famous personality psychic. And you talk about Lady Di. I used to love, you know, Lady Di.
Yeah.
It's close to my heart.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. And you know, continue everything you're doing with the World Peace Tour. And I hope that everybody's going to get your message. So important.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye. Hi, my lovely listeners. Thank you so much for listening to my last episode. I really appreciate it. Some of you already know I'm a sound healer now and I have a new path in my life. And this is fantastic. I love it. And I really want to share my gift with you. So if you're interested about having a sound bath or if you want to know about sound bath, you can just send me an email. I will put everything in the show notes. And this way you can have a look and just contact me through my website. So if you're looking to relax, realign, and reconnect with your inner peace, let's have a virtual sound healing sessions designed to help you release stress and restore balance using the pure tones of crystal singing bowls and guiding meditation. Each session is a deeply calming experience from the comfort of your own space. Shift your energy and raise your vibration. Visit my website, harmoniousechoes.com, to book your session today.